Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everybody. A bit louder. Good morning. Thank you. That's great. I've been on the road since 3 o'clock, so if I sound a little bit incoherent... No, don't feel sorry for me. It's my job. It's what I'm paid to do. But if I sound a little bit incoherent, forgive me. But it's absolutely fantastic to be here in Brighton and at the CPHVA conference, one I know that all the CNOs look forward to participating in and talking with you. It is about sharing lessons this morning, so part of my presentation is a little bit about Brand Scotland, as well as what we've been doing under the banner of modernising nursing in the community, and I will focus on the public health workforce as I go through, but the modernising nursing in community covers all our community nursing workforce. So just to start off, the perennial challenge for health and care systems everywhere in the world, no matter where you are, the CNOs and I, we're at the Europe, in Cyprus, European Chief Nurses a few weeks ago, just listening to the same issues, the same concerns, and our colleague from Denmark, I'm sure, has outlined similar concerns, and it is about how do we manage increasing demand and deliver quality, efficient and responsive public services within finite resources. The picture there is of a gentleman called Julien Legrand, who used to advise Tony Blair, worked in Tony Blair's private office for a number of years. And basically, he says that there are a number of ways to do it, and if you look at the history of the NHS, then we've tried all these models. The first way in which you can do it is through trust-based models, i.e. you trust the people, you trust your professionals, you trust your nurses, your HPs, your staff, your doctors, whatever, you trust them to manage that demand and deliver quality, efficient public services on your behalf. So the trust model. And I don't mean trust in terms of NHS trusts, I mean trust in terms of professional trust. If that doesn't work, he suggests that you can always try the target-based model, which assumes that if trust is not going to work, i.e. your staff are not going to do it just because they want to do it, then targets work as a way of delivering that. And you will have, as we all have, experienced that target-based model in all four parts of the UK. The other way in which you can get that change is through voice-based models, through pressure groups and interest groups, particularly patients and public driving change. And the last way is through choice and competition. Now, you might ask me why the hell I'm talking to you about Julien Legrand. The reason I'm doing that is because it introduces Brand Scotland. And Brand Scotland is driven by the extremes of our geography. Those of you who can see the outline map there can see just how far the Shetlands are in the top right-hand corner in terms of the mainland of Scotland and what that must mean. But we've also got Glasgow and Edinburgh in the middle band, which are highly urbanised and have all the problems that go with that. Our cultural identity is very strong, and our health profile, which some wit in Scotland calls smoker diabesity. It captures it all there, doesn't it? Yeah. Smoker diabesity. We've got a problem with smoker diabesity in Scotland. And those factors make us quite brave in terms of some of the things that we do. In that, for example, telehealth, telemedicine, if you're up in the islands, for example, is a fact of life because you can't deliver services without such things. We've got a government-led and funded NHS with a fully integrated model of commissioning, planning and provision. So there is no choice and competition in NHS Scotland. We do, however, have the other three ways of driving change, quality. That's through trust and through targets and through voice. But we don't use the choice and competition method. There's a great deal of emphasis placed on mutuality, i.e. people's rights and responsibilities. 2020, we have, for example, elected members on boards. A lot of emphasis on partnership and co-production. with our people like yourselves, CPHVA and RCN, etc. And we have the 2020 vision, a single 2020 vision and a narrative. We have a single quality strategy and an agreed approach to how we do things. So I'm just going to take you through those things quickly. That's the 2020 vision, nothing exciting about it. The thing that makes it great is that it's a single vision that unites local authorities. It unites the health service, it unites government, the chief executives of the NHS, as well as our staff. So it's a 2020 vision for everyone, and we're all working towards that vision. Our health and care strategy is based on quality. So in terms of performance managing, we've got our targets, quality outcome measures, heat targets and CQIs. I'm sure you care quality indicators. We have a small number of quality improving programmes, which everything we do falls under, efficiency and productivity, Scottish Patient Safety Programme 1 and 2. Scottish Patient Safety 1 started very much in the acute, and it's now out into primary care, midwifery and mental health. We launch next in a couple of weeks our person-centred health and care programme, which is using improvement methodology, and we've got an older people care programme. And then our co-productive strategies, i.e. meant to change the system, our health and social care integration, the early years collaborative, reshaping care for older people, and a 2020 vision for workforce. So Brand Scotland allows us to bring a lot of everything that we do under that, and none of that will happen and can't happen without community and public health nurses at his heart. So everything that I do as Chief Nurse and Director for Patients, Public and the Professions around community nursing is about sharing and us all moving towards that vision. And to some extent, that's driven how modernising nursing in the community developed. When we went out to talk about modernising nursing in the community, when I first took over the job a couple of years ago, we had done some work around a new model of family nursing, a generic model of family nursing, and there was a generic public health nursing role that incorporated health visiting and school nursing. When we went out, we saw a great deal of that model worked in some areas but not in other areas, and certainly hadn't been adopted in the way that people may have been led to believe it had been adopted. We certainly saw old-fashioned working practices from community nurses, not that they wanted to be old-fashioned, it was just the circumstances, a lack of IT, documentation, moving to and from surgeries to do things, feeling that they got no care quality indicators that sort of thing. We heard a great deal about how people felt, and we also saw that people were at very different levels of innovation, and that very often was driven by geography or leadership. But we felt that there was a feeling of where are we, who are we, and where do we fit in this new world of health and social care integration. So modernising nursing in the community was about today, tomorrow, and beyond. It was a two-year programme, which we're now in the process of implementing. It focused not on the roles, not on the titles, but on what community nurses should be working and contributing to. So our work streams were children and young people, adults and older people, nursing for work and wellbeing. And that brought in our occupational health nurses, our practice nurses, and other groups that perhaps sometimes get forgotten in the community nursing field. And it was about supporting the NHS boards and helping to facilitate change. There's been no push in Scotland for a particular target of health visitors or school nurses or anything like that. It's been about government supporting local communities because of Brand Scotland and the diversity of our provision, making the right decisions for them rather than setting a particular target that everybody had to meet that didn't perhaps reflect the local community. It's in the shape of a website which has a number of features on it, as you can see there. Anybody who wants to go in it, that's just a snapshot of the adults and older people one. So all three areas have these tiles, and underneath those tiles you find resources, structures, facilities to help you do what you need to do. this is just one example. Under one of those tiles, we've got career and development frameworks for all the nurses that fall under those three areas, and this is the one for the district nurses. We also have set out the pathways, particularly for early years, so that we were very clear about when and where health visitors and school nurses contributed compared to our midwives. And there's also things like evidence summaries, because we realised how difficult it was for community nurses to have evidence at their hands to really achieve what they wanted to achieve. And actually, without that evidence, then your practice can only be rote. There was also some work on education, and I'll just point you to the last point, which is our education review, which will be published in a few weeks. And the review's been ongoing since I started in Scotland, but it is about how we get pre- and post-registration education in Scotland aligned with the new world and those three areas of community nursing, and how we really make sure that we've got the specialists we need in hospital, but the largest part of our workforce where we need them in public health and in community nursing. So what has been the success factors? Clarifying vision and role and contribution in a changing world. I think that was a particularly important step that we took, just recognising that health visitors wanted to be health visitors, and what they wanted was to understand and to know where they fit in the jigsaw. And that we were able to articulate that for all our community nurse practitioners and what their contribution is in a changing world. Where do we in Scotland want you to be putting your efforts? And it very clearly, health visitors and school nurses, it is in early years. It's in working with midwives in the early stages of pregnancy, but also about early years and supporting families. Very robust linkages to other programmes. So, for example, we've introduced Leading Better Care for a few years in Scotland, which is our senior charge nurse development programme. Well, that's now out in the community, and the community nurses are developing their CQIs. Working cross-government, one of the first things that I did when we got a new Director of Education in was to get him out, and Director of Children Education, out with some district nurses, midwives and health visitors, and he's been a staunch advocate of ours ever since. Consequently, community nursing is right at the heart of government policy, justice, education and everything. Partnership. Our partnership work with our professional associations, the CPHVA, have been very great supporters, as have the Queen's Nursing Institute in Scotland. And tackling issues that are important to staff. Documentation, IT. We're developing workload and workforce and capacity analysis tools for community nursing, something that hasn't been done before, because it's desperately important that we support you to do the job that you want to do as well as you can do. The reason that school nurses and health visitors should be working with early years is, in Scotland, set out very clearly by the Chief Medical Officer. It's about working with high-risk behaviour, recognising the importance of pregnancy and the importance of parents' interaction. And last year I talked to you about assets and all that went with that, so I'm not repeating that this year. It was also about a consensus in Scotland that we were going to shift resources across to supporting the shift to prevention. And that our vision for Scotland is that it's the best place in the world for children to grow up and to be brought up. It's linked to all our policy frameworks and linked to legislation. And the outcome of all that is what is an early years collaborative, and that's a cross-government initiative. That's justice, education, everybody working towards the same goal of making Scotland the best place to be born and to live and to be brought up. And it's not unique, but I think the fact of bringing all our resources together, it means that there aren't little pots of money in health and little pots of money in education. The pots of money are pooled and focused on where we need them. The early years working group within modernising nursing and community, I think, has probably been one of the strongest. And it has indeed done a great deal, as I pointed out already. One of the issues that we heard a great deal as we went around implementing it and have begun implementing modernising nursing in the community, i.e. that shift towards community nursing, the IT, the workforce planning tools, capacity planning, all that goes with that, and the education side of it, was the rollout of the Family Nurse Partnership, which I know is taking place in England and indeed in other parts of the UK, but it is an absolute commitment in our country to roll out the Family Nurse Partnership. One of the things I wanted to do as part of modernising nursing in the community is to say, what is it about Family Nurse Partnership that's been so successful, and what can we gather from it that actually needs to be spread to the whole of the public health nursing workforce, of which the family nurses in Scotland are part of? And how can these factors be sustained as we go across? So we've a document that sets that out, and this is some of the areas that as we move towards modernising nursing in the community we'll be working on. One of the strengths of the Family Nurse Partnership is the supervision that those family nurses get. I think that supervision is something that every nurse, regardless of your background, deserves and should have. So we're looking at how we can ensure that there's appropriate levels of supervision for our community nurses. That we understand how to sustain and maintain family nurse partnership as part of the family, not as something additional and extra, but as part of our public health nursing family, as a specialist, as a particular intervention. How can we work with the education, training and development that has been very, very strong? What can we take across into our review of education? And how can we get some of the knowledge and learning around strengths-based leadership and the understanding of the science, etc., into more generic mainstream public nursing, public health nursing? So that's me. I've tried to give you a gallop through A, where we are in Scotland, B, modernising nursing community, C, what we're trying to do specifically about focusing public health and school nursing in and around that early years, and aligning that or creating the whole family that includes Family Nurse Partnership and indeed spreads the learning and the success factors to the whole so that all public health nurses can achieve. So I say to community nurses in Scotland, and I say to you today, that it's your time. It is your time. It's absolutely, everybody's been saying it, but gosh, it is. You are right at the centre of everything, every policy in the heart of Scottish Government. So seize that moment, take that opportunity, be noisy, get everybody out there, showing them what you do, showing them what we can do. And I always say, just remember all those women, if you feel a bit, you know, concerned, should I do this, shouldn't I do, remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart. Seize the moment. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.